We got to get somebody to get Glenn. There's a new receptionist.
Oh, no.
Is there somebody outside that could do it?
Yeah. I'll text Chris and tell him to do it.
All right. Yeah. So sending someone down. That's funny. Oh, is he on this level, though? I think it's our someone filling in. This is the greatest intro ever.
Yeah.
By the way.
Well, yeah. Just keep it rolling. I'll go grab him right now.
Okay. Is Chris not around?
I don't know where he is.
All right. I'll just, yeah. It's the Migs cast. I'm Steve Migs. I've already lost the Reverend in Fuego. Glenn Cannon stuck at the front desk, but who cares? I got Levi Lyon here. I got Devin from Sin Circus. Yep. And I am, of course, Rev's the guy in charge of the microphone, so we might have to just. And also Steve from Metal Church. Jesus Christ, what kind of day is this?
Well, we're going to find out.
It's a true honor getting to have you here, Steve, honestly. Like, that's when Levi just mentioned that. Steve's coming along, too, and it's like, okay, that doesn't
right
suck.
Right on, man. Well, okay. Happy to be here.
Can you, okay, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously. Sin Circus, Devin, I'm very excited. You guys are going to be playing with Dave Ellison from Megadeth. That's nuts.
This is actually Derek.
Derek? Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're brothers. They look a lot alike. You're welcome.
I even get it mixed up sometimes.
Yeah. Where's Devin? Wait, no, that's, I'm Derek. What's going on? Sorry about that, man. Sorry about
no,
that.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
I'm an idiot.
No problem.
I suck. Do over. See, the problem is Glenn's not here, and he usually keeps me sane.
Yeah,
I've let you down. Before we get to anything, so Sin Circus, obviously, you're going to be playing at Louis G's on Saturday, and you're going to be playing along with Dave Ellison, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, we are. We're pretty stoked about it. We've been really pushing hard to get the material down right and do it some justice, you know? And we're really excited to be playing with Dave. He's a great guy. We love hanging out with him. We're gonna be headlining the show at 10:45 to 11.
Okay.
And Dave will be playing with Dave as his backup band and jamming some Megadeth tunes.
What?
Yeah. It's going to be really cool, man.
Oh, I do a great Dave Mustaine impression if you need someone to sing.
Yeah?
I just keep my mouth closed.
I want to hear it.
You just keep your teeth clenched and you just talk like this.
So you're in control.
So if you need somebody, I'm your guy.
All right. Yeah.
It could be me and Steve. You and I will do it together.
Right. All right, we're going to do it.
Symphony.
Glenn. Glenn's here.
Hey.
Hi, Glenn.
What
everything made it.
I'm back too.
Morning, everybody.
And we got Rev Meir. Dave Ellison's going to be here in a minute. So we got Derek from Sin Circus. I don't know if you know Steve from Metal Church. All right, now we're all formal.
Yeah.
Steve, can you share the story before we started? Can you share the story about the person that met you and decided to travel and follow your band?
Oh, the one I just told you?
Yes.
Oh,
this is a great story, Glenn.
Is this a good story or a bad story?
It's one of those things where, you know, you saw a cute girl from the backside and you're like, damn. And then anyway, the girl that was standing next to me at the time, she was like, oh, well, that's my friend. Let me go introduce you. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. I walk over there, and the girl turns around, and I was just, you know, scared the hell out of me.
Luckily.
You know, you're already committed at this point, so you got to be like, oh, hi, how you doing there, sweetie, you know? And so anyway, because I was nice to her, she, like, you know, ended up following the band around for, like, the next three cities. And, like, the next city we showed up, tour bus pulls up, and this girl is standing out there in the same exact schoolgirl outfit that I seen her two nights ago.
Well, she didn't change?
I don't know. Maybe she's got, like, six
same
of them.
Night,
I don't know.
She was holding the first night, was still in her hand. Same chloroform soap rag.
She shows up. She's got two big old shopping bags in her hand. And I was like, I looked out the bus window, and I seen her. I was like, oh, no. So I told the other guys in the band to tell her that I stayed in the city behind, and I was going to fly in for the show later tonight. So she just handed the bags to the guys and said, okay, well, I'll be at the show. Tell them I'm here.
At least they were shopping bags, not luggage bags.
Yeah, true. Could have been a lot worse, right? Could have been really scary.
That's what I actually thought you were meaning when you said she had two bags. I was like, okay,
I'm ready to move
creepy.
In. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to come with you. Okay.
Yeah, so she brought a bunch of, like, baked goods and a couple jars of, like, moonshine and everything, and the guys brought on the bus, and I was like, man, I'm not eating that stuff. And they're like, you're not going to eat that? I'm like, no, if you're still standing in an hour or so, I might try some, but.
Have you guys seen Game of Thrones? Don't you know how this ends? Are you crazy?
Yeah. I've learned the hard way.
Wait, so what was the way that you learned then?
That's a whole other story. I don't think we should tell that one on the air, though.
We've got 10 minutes until Dave calls in. Dave Ellison from Megadeth is going to be joining us in just a little bit. But, and so this is a cool thing about you guys, Derek and Steve. Derek, that's your dad.
Yeah, it is my dad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you know that, but that's your dad.
So did you know he had a stalker till?
I've met a few of them.
Or yeah, which stalker? Which stalker? Yeah, that girl that used to stand outside my bedroom window. You know, after a while, you just get used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
We love you.
They become like, hey, aunt. How's it going? Like, what's it, Beth from Two and a Half Men? So a situation like that.
She jumps off the balcony or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got to get away.
Yeah.
So what was that? Okay, so Steve, you got to be pumped that both your boys are playing rock music. You know,
oh,
I mean,
I got lucky, man. I mean, I got buddies of mine. You know, their kids grew up and they got into rap or, you know.
That's a shame.
I mean, you know.
It's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, but no, I got lucky. First of all, I got two boys, you know, which I'd be a horrible dad for girls, I think, because I know the kind of guy I've been, and I know there's other guys out there like me. So, you know, now my boys that come back, we high five, they tell me stories. I'm like, sweet! You know, now my daughter telling me that kind of stuff, I'd be like, oh, no.
Where is this boy? I'm going to kill him.
Yeah, that's where you find the kid, and you're like, I've been to jail, and I'm not afraid to go back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, that's not true either. I've been there once. That was not a fun place to be.
You don't tell him that. I don't care about going back.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I'll keep that one quiet
for you, Derek. What's your favorite? You got your dad's metal church, incredible band. What's your favorite story about having Steve as your dad? I mean, a member of metal church. Do you have any recollections growing up? You're like, this is nuts. I don't think other kids are experiencing this.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember when I must have been 7 years old or something like that, and we went on tour with metal church just to like check out. He just wanted to take us and show us how the tour life is, really. And,
or Steve couldn't find a babysitter.
Yeah.
Tour.
I always
I'll make Kurt watch him.
Stick with the first version of the story. He wanted you to see what the road was like.
Yeah. He wanted to show us how the road was. And I think Metal Church was on a tour with Wasp and was it Rat? Or was it
Wasp, Rat, LA Guns?
LA Guns.
Oh my God!
It was a cool package.
I remember one time we went missing because we were hanging out with Phil Lewis of LA Guns on his bus.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "You guys come over here." I think we were playing video games with him or something like that on his bus. And they didn't know where we were, so Metal Church was like freaking out, trying to find us.
No.
Me and my brother Devin.
Lost my 7-year-old son and my 10-year-old son on tour.
The rest of the band's like, Steve, how'd you lose your kids?
It's like, well, it's kind of easy. They're kind of small.
I was busy doing sound check, and I came back, and the bus was empty, and I'm like, where in the heck are my kids?
Oh, dude. That's only funny because it's not funny.
Like, right.
Where are my
after
kids?
I found them. They used to go on tour with me, you know, I would be on tour like, you know, 2.5 months out of their like summer vacation and from school. And I'd be like, man, I got to do something because, you know, we do a lot of stuff together. I mean, we do everything from snow ski, jet ski, scuba dive,
awesome. Dirt bike riding,
paintballing. I mean, we're pretty active all together. And when I was on tour for most of summer, I was like, dude, I got to do something, man. I took him out for like 2 weeks on the tour with us. And then the last show of the tour, we were with Queensryche and we were playing in
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Was that a
San Juan,
time?
Puerto Rico? Yeah. And that was the final show of the tour. And so I brought the boys all the way down to that. And then we ended up staying there for like a week after, just, you know, hanging out.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, right?
That sounds terrible, man. Like,
my parents took me to Hershey Park in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, me too. And that was a big deal. Like, we're going to Hershey Park.
Bro, that was the pinnacle.
I know. I love you, son. We can afford for you to ride one ride.
Put some ears on and pretend you're there, son.
That's right.
You're in freaking Puerto Rico partying with all the band.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Awesome,
I mean, that sounds terrible.
It was cool, man. I definitely had a really cool upbringing, and now I get to do something that I think that I was meant to do.
Yeah,
and in my band, Sin Circus, and we're doing really good right now. We're actually working on a new album, which is just coming along awesome. I mean, I think you've seen us play before, right?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, you got to come see us now, dude.
Oh, I'm down.
It's way different now, yeah.
Yeah.
The 22nd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you guys at? Where are you guys
Louis
at?
Cheese,
22nd?
Yes.
Louis?
Yeah. This Saturday.
I can come Fifeward. This Saturday? Fifeward?
Yeah.
This is it, man.
I've got a plan.
Fifeward.
Right on, man.
That's why we're here today. You didn't get the memo, huh?
I never get the memo, dude.
We keep them in the dark.
I'd have been in here earlier, but I didn't get the memo about the different receptionist. She was out there with the gloves on and two fingers in, and you know.
I know. I had to go save you.
I was asking her out to dinner about the time Red was like, "Dude, come on back."
the old receptionist, she doesn't use gloves.
No.
It's just, yeah, we got
she's got those big Keith Richards
back,
knuckles
right?
too. It's really terrifying.
Oh man!
Wow, why you got so hard on Keith? Why did he like that?
Because he's got really freaky turtle shell knuckles, man.
Wow!
They're just goo bumps, man.
Google image search his knuckles. And, oh, dude.
Yeah, he turned into a Petrodon at some point, man. Yeah, he did. Have you guys ever noticed that? And the guy can still play guitar amazingly well, but each individual knuckle is about
nuts.
3 inches wide.
Yep.
His
that's
hands
huge.
Turned into some kind of a...
Like Skeletor.
I think that's why he's not dead, because he's part lizard.
He's like
he's good to go.
They say that every time you smoke a cigarette, it takes 7 minutes off your life and gives it to Keith Richards.
He is eternal.
Dude, I think that might be true. Yeah.
When Keith Richards' daughters die, he's going to get all their stuff.
Yeah. They have a will
exactly.
for him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, again, this is happening on this Saturday over at Luigi's in Fife, which is an awesome spot.
It's amazing.
People can just go to Luigi's Pizza online to purchase the tickets, or just go to Brown Paper Tickets. They're available there as well. Where can people get information about Sin Circus?
You can find us on Facebook at Sin Circus Band. Give us a like. You'll always know where we're playing, and you'll always know how to get. You can even message us. We'll message you back. We're cool like that. You know?
Clearly, your dad hasn't taught you right. You don't talk to the fans.
So that's awesome. I'm so far behind. It's usually like, sorry, it's been a month. I'm just getting to this. Sorry. And it's usually like, dude, can you get me on the list from a month ago?
Sure, no problem.
That happened last week.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
it's hard to keep up with it. It is.
I can't keep up. It's terrible. I try. Yeah. I usually dedicate like an hour a week to sit down and try and dig myself out.
Yeah,
which is awesome. I'm really excited that people want to reach out to me. But I feel bad.
Let me give you a little tip, Glenn. If you just do like 10 minutes a day, it's easier than an hour a week.
You're right.
It is.
And it's a little bit longer.
That's 10 minutes I could be sleeping, man.
Priorities, baby. Priorities.
You just made this, you made it the most simple advice that I never even thought about, but you're absolutely right.
Well, I'm a pretty simple guy. You know.
It's like, hey, man, you want to lose some weight? Do some push-ups.
Huh. 50
thanks,
a
man.
Day.
I'm just going to go cry in the corner for a minute about my stupidity.
No, really, that's one cool thing about social media, though. Is I'm not really big on it because I just don't really like it that much. But the one thing that's cool is that we get to be just like right there with our fans all the time. People can just message us. We can talk to our fans. And it's really cool. It's nice a good way to connect.
It's nice to get an instant reaction to something that you busted your ass for. In the past, we've never had that. You just hope someone's in their living room listening to the music, but you'll never know.
Right. You never know, But now you get to hear back from them, and you get feedback, so it's really cool to hear what they have to say about us, especially over the 10 years that we've been a band around here. Yep. So.
Especially if you do something that sucks, then they'll really let you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, right.
What are you talking about? People on social media are always nice. They never bring up the negative stuff. I don't know what you're talking
You could do 1,000 things perfectly, but if you do one thing and you screw it up, it's like, that's going to be the thing. Everybody's like, dude, did you see him do that one thing?
So is the most recent release for Sin Circus, is it the Board EP? Or cause I'm looking on Apple Music. Or is it the Chemical Youth?
Chemical Youth is us, yeah.
So is that another Sin Circus?
Yeah, there's one.
Do we need to start a fight with another
band? There's one in England right now.
Yeah, we're going to have to shut that down.
Yeah,
you guys trademarked?
Yeah, we are.
All right, it's time to sue them right now.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Boom, dropping the hammer.
I've had to do that once. Honestly, the other band was really cool, and I was totally like, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Here's the situation.
It's not their fault, really.
I apologize, guys. I know this sucks. And just send them a nice, and then I send, of course, all my registration numbers, and they're like, oh, dude, really? And I'm like,
sorry, bro.
I don't want to be contacting you, bro. I'm not stoked either. But they were really cool about it.
Yeah, so, we'll figure that out. But the last one is Chemical Youth, and we got a new one coming pretty soon. Hopefully by the end of this year we'll have it out. And I'm really excited about it. It's the last one we released was in 2015, I think. So it's been a while. And people they want to hear some new Sin Circus, and they're going to be excited
about
it.
We'll play some stuff off of it, but make sure you guys join us also. We're going to have Dave Ellison right now joining us. So, hey, is this Dave?
Yes, David calling. How are you?
David, Steve over here in KSW. I'm here with Glenn, the Rev. There's a lot of names you're going to have to remember, but that's okay.
Okay, all good.
And then also, I don't know, I'm sure you know Steve from Metal Church. He's here with us, and also Derek from Sin Circus.
Hey, what's up,
Dave? How's it going, man? Nice.
So we got
hey
a whole
guys, what's going on? How are you?
We got a whole crew here, just all excited to get to chat with you, my man. Dude, it's an honor to get to chat with you. I have to share my one experience of getting to meet you is a fun one. It was a couple years ago when the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl and unfortunately lost. We won't talk about that part. But it was in Arizona, and we share a mutual friend in Craig Gass. And Craig invited me to the Phoenix Suns game, and he's like, hey, I want you to meet one of my other buddies is here as well, my buddy Dave. And I'm like, oh, cool. So then he brings us over, my wife and I, and we go over to say hi to you, and instantly I'm like, oh, Craig, you never mentioned that it's Dave freaking Ellison from Megadeth. Thanks a lot.
Craig's such a humble guy, right?
He's a humble guy that also likes to drop some names every once in a while. So I was like, of all times, man. Like, I'm actually... But it was really cool getting to meet you. And my favorite part about it was my wife, who's not a super metal person, but I was like, oh, you know, Dave's like, you know, involved in the church and things along those lines. My wife's super Christian. And man, she could not stop talking about you after that experience. She's like, that it's cool when, like, you know, you get to have somebody meet somebody that is not fazed by them being rock stars and walks away being like, that guy was awesome. I'm like, I know, that was a great experience.
Well, awesome. Well, good. Well, it sounds like we hit on all the finer points. Jesus, Seahawks, and Craig Gass.
Really?
We got it all covered.
Those are the three things I live for, Dave.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity, exactly.
Dave, I want to ask you, so you're coming here for Louis G's. Obviously, we got Derek from Sin Circuit said they're going to be playing there, and they're going to be playing along with you as well, and it's called Bass Story, and it's an intimate evening of riffs and repartee happening this Saturday over at Louis G's in Fife. Exactly what are you going to be doing while there?
You know, it's very similar to the bass clinics that I used to do in music stores. And I say used to because, you know, a lot of that market is kind of dried up. Like, you know, where maybe a Fender or Marshall or somebody would bring a famous rock star in to kind of do a clinic or a master class inside of a guitar center, like a music store or something, you know. And what the idea that I had with this was, you know, it's fun to sit down and play through in a storyteller fashion, not so much a clinic fashion, because I've never been an instructor and a teacher. You know, I'm a kid who grabbed the bass and called my buddies and we formed a band and we went on stage, and that's what I've been doing for the last 40 some years of my life. So the whole idea with Bass Story is that, you know, to sit down and stand, whatever, but to go through kind of the history of my life, you know, not always riff by riff, but certainly a lot of key riffs talking about, you know, 35 years of Megadeth campaign this year, it really, I think, has brought things full circle with just the history of the band, obviously me and Dave. And the bass, you know, is a huge part of the, you know, Symphony of Destruction inside of Megadeth.
Yeah. What's been, so have you done a few of these so far? And if so, what's been a favorite memory of just interacting with the fans and a story that you've enjoyed when doing the Bass Story?
Well, I have done a couple. And again, to me, the masterclass spoken word thing kind of works really well together. I had done a spoken word tour over in Australia right before we recorded the Dystopia album. So this was like early 2015. And it was a 5 or 6 city tour across all of Australia. And I found, you know, Australia is a very vast continent, just like America. You know, New York to LA to Minneapolis to Birmingham are very different cultures, you know, and I found every one of them was very different. And that's quite honestly is where I did my first, really essentially Bass Story event, even though I didn't call it that at the time. And it was down in Adelaide, one of my favorite little cities to the south there. And it was in a nightclub, and I just came out, and, you know, it kind of felt to me like, you know what, these guys don't really look like they want to just be blasted in the face with a bunch of heavy metal right now, so let me just sit down on the stool and start kind of walking through my life with the bass. And, you know, I love the Q&A part of it, because the truth of it is the fans, they pay attention to such detail on things, you know, things that I forgot ever even happened, you know.
Yeah.
They'll bring up moments. I certainly... You know, the Peace Sells riff is a big question. The bass I played in the Peace Sells riff, you know, that sits now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. You know, what's it like working with Dave? You know, there's sort of a top 10 hit list of questions that, you know, kind of come in all the time. You know, unfortunately, you know, there's not a bunch of other stuff like, you know, you know, old stuff. I mean, hey, who knows? Up in Seattle, we went up there in the Killing Is My Business tour. So, you know, who knows what kind of questions come in? You know, like, hopefully it's, you know, do you recognize this family member from 25 years ago?
Well, then I'm going to be the dork to ask a little bit about the P Cells riff, because there's one thing that I always related to. And I'm a guy that's 43 and grew up watching MTV, of course. And did you ever think that riff would just be used for what felt like a decade for the MTV News
and
intro?
And did they give you a fat kickback?
I hope so.
Because MTV News was literally...
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, Dave should get $10 for that.
We did finally get paid. It was a... there was a big... Believe it or not, there was a class action lawsuit against...
What? Oh!
Owns MTV and VH1. One day, my lawyer just said, hey, go to this link, fill out this form. And it was a nice database. I mean, they knew every song I wrote, played on. I mean, they had this thing really dialed. And apparently it was a bunch of people. They'd been using Red Hot Chili Peppers and all kinds of bands.
But without
music
permission?
For years.
Whoa.
And I guess they weren't, you know, people weren't getting paid. And so, you know, the record companies, just, I mean, it wasn't a bunch of musicians. It was record companies and people who also wanted their money. And and one day I went to the mailbox and a check was there. So it was like, hey, what do you know? You know, so.
And that's the moment that you're like, I can now watch MTV again.
And then you turn it back on, it's all reality TV shows. You're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, but even in reality TV, I mean, like, if they use a song or a riff, and I guess a lot of this reality TV is kind of original content, you know. But you know, it's funny with that riff. We had a band apartment when we first got signed to Capitol. We got a new manager, got a small little advance, I don't know, you know, 40 grand or something that we could kind of use to split up. And that's 10 grand each. We can live like humans now. And so we got a, you know, band apartment that me, Dave, and Chris Poland all shared. And I remember one day me and Chris were at we were by the kitchen doing the dishes or something, you know, some domestic chores in our rock star apartment. And all of a sudden, like, MTV's on in the background, and they, you know, MTV News, you heard it here, and they play the riff. We're like, was that us? No. And then, of course, the next time they do it, they would switch it. Then they'd have that little DJ scratch, you know, MTV News, shuka, chuka, chuka, you know, and it was like, ah, see, it was a figment of our imagination. It couldn't have been, you know. And it's just funny how then over the years, you know, somebody behind the curtain of the great Oz at MTV, who obviously was a Megadeth fan or liked that riff or something, and the Lord shone favor upon us. And, you know, and it's kind of a cool moment to have, because obviously that's a big part of my legacy and history, and certainly for Megadeth. And so it's a cool moment to have something like that happen in your life.
So MTV didn't reach out to you guys and say, hey, we want to use this. They just started using it. Am I correct in understanding it? Wow. Well, I mean, that's really flattering. Exactly. That's flattering and exciting, but at the same time, it's like, hey, wait a minute, man. You know,
Well, that's why, you know, when everybody's like, you guys get paid for that, it's like, well, look, if you're all about money, well, then chase the money. But, you know, why would you chase the money? And then they go, yeah, we're not going to pay you. Now we're not going to use your riff anymore either. Right. So it's kind of like, you know, let's just kind of let this sort of play itself out.
Oh, yeah, tremendous promotional vehicle. Yeah.
If you got into music to make money, you might want to try another profession. You know? especially on your sort of essentially first or second album. I mean, for us, we're just thrilled to, you know, have the enjoy the ride, you know, and I guess somehow money shows up when it's supposed to, you know.
Well, it's funny you bring up this, how iconic that bass riff has become because of, I mean, the song obviously being a killer song, and then MTV News as well. And I just recently was at a Foo Fighters show here. You know, Dave has history being in Seattle, and he even brought up while he was performing My Hero, which became one of their biggest songs. Like, I still can't get over the fact that I wrote this song in the laundry room of my old place up in North Seattle, and now I have 50,000 people in the stadium singing along with me. I mean, I love to go back to when you don't know when you write a bass riff that it's going to become an iconic bass riff. Where were you when that? Can you recall when you guys first came up with the song? Because it's still, in my opinion, one of the greatest songs, and the bass riff is why that song is so great. Do you remember first coming up with that? Was it a jam? Was it something you walked in with?
You know, it's funny. We lived in a house. The producer for the first for our first record, Killing Is My Business, Carrot Faye. We lived up at his house, and none of us were making any money. So pretty soon, the electricity got shut off, and now we're running an extension cord to the neighbor's house to get some electricity, and now we've got candles, you know. And that's, you know, there was always enough money for beer. There just didn't happen to be enough money for electricity and some of the other finer things in life, you know.
Priorities.
But, you know, we were truly the broke, starving, you know, heavy metal band. But we're living in Laurel Canyon, of course, you know. But so we're hanging out, and Dave picks up my bass. I had this BC Rich bass, and he'd been working on... You know, sometimes, you know, we'll pick up a different instrument. He picks up a bass and writes a riff. I'll pick up a guitar, write a riff, whatever, you know. And so he started jamming on it, and he handed it to me, and we started going back and forth on it. Then that night we took that song into the rehearsal room. And, I mean, that song wrote itself, you know, me, Dave, Gar, and Chris just in the room jamming. It was one of those really beautiful moments that happened as a band, you know, where it really fell into place together. And because we didn't have a lot of that sometimes, you know, because Dave and I always partner together and sort of, you know, we would squat at people's houses. We'd move in. They didn't know we moved in until our mail started showing up at their house. And then they realized, oh, God, we got to get these guys out of here, you know. So, but, you know, so Dave and I were always working on music and riffs and songs together. And that was a big, it was a cool thing in the, on those, you know, essentially the music that became kind of the first three, certainly the first two records, you know, Killing Is My Business and Peace Sells.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we'd be working on something and Dave would go, you know what, play this part on the bass right here. And that would become like an intro. Or, you know, he'd say, you know, let's make a moment here to have this bass break. And Chris Adler, you know, Lamb of God drummer, who cut the Dystopia record for us and did some touring for a few months with us, you know, he pointed that out one day. We were doing a Knot Fest down in Mexico City, and he goes, dude, it must be so cool to be the bass player in this band because you get all these big, like, iconic bass breaks. And I, you know, he says, trust me, I am in a band where we don't have any. So now I'm playing in Megadeth, where every other song has some, you know, either Peace Sells, the beginning of Trust, Devil's yep. Island, there's a breakdown, Dawn Patrol, you know, the beginning of Poison with the Cure. And I was like, wow, I guess you're right. You know, it's, you know, again, as a member of the low end of the orchestra, it's nice to have these sort of, you know, moments where there's this, you know, and I kind of think of it like that. You know, Megadeth music is a lot like sort of an orchestral movement. There's this sort of tension, release, these speed chase moments followed by slow down moments, and it's, you know, it's very much like watching a film or something. It's meant to be dramatic.
That's a great way to describe it. You're absolutely right. I'd love to ask you, this might be a random question now, but, you know, being one of the members, when you talk about Megadeth, everyone brings up like the big four when it comes to thrash metal, and obviously you guys and Metallica and then Anthrax and also Slayer. For you, of the other three, which one is your favorite to listen to?
You know, probably Metallica, and that's because I heard them before, you know. It's funny, Chris Adler, just, you know, when we were doing Dystopia, one of the values he brought in was, you know, we were obviously in a lineup change, there's a management change, we're writing this new record, kind of, who is Megadeth in 2015, essentially, right?
Right.
Because a lot of things had changed, internally and externally. And, you know, Chris Adler was kind of like, well, my Megadeth would do this. My Megadeth wouldn't do that. And we were kind of like, well, who's your Megadeth? And he goes, you know, so far, so good, so what? 1988, 89, like that was the poster on my wall, Megadeth. So I was like, okay, so let's refer back to that mindset a little bit, right? And, you know, so I think lots of times, you know, when I go back to, I listen to Metallica, you know, my Metallica, if you will, mm-hmm. was the No Life to Leather, because that was the first stuff I heard. You know, keep in mind, Dave got let go from Metallica in April of 83. I met him like the first week of June, like probably 6 weeks after he was out of the group. I met Dave, and within June that month, we formed Megadeth together. And so when I remember walking into, you know, his apartment, we lived literally upstairs, downstairs from each other. And I remember going up there, walking, and he was playing the No Life to Leather demo on his stereo. And I remember it was dark, it was haunting, it was fast, it was aggressive. And, you know, keep in mind, everything on the radio was, you know, Ronnie Dio, Led Zeppelin,
yep,
Quiet Riot, Motley Crue, you know, that was what was blowing up, you know, Flashdance. You know, that's what was brought up on the radio, you know, that I could hear. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing, you know, mechanics and Seek and Destroy and Phantom Lord. I'm just going, you know, and so that, you know, to me, that's in, you know, even pre-Cliff, I mean, the bass player, Ron McGovney.
Yep.
You know, that's my Metallica right there, you know, and obviously to watch them grow, you know, and then we heard the Kill 'Em All record. Like, I'll never forget the day that showed up at the house. that was an interesting afternoon sitting down listening to that with Dave.
I bet.
You know, there were these moments that were just fueled by, you know, like I remember we were working on the, you know, in those first few months writing this Megadeth material, and it was really slow. It was more like Black Sabbath tempos, you know, and this fan letter showed up. We had a kid running our fan club up in the San Francisco area, and a fan letter shows up and it says, "Dude, I hope your new stuff's faster than Metallica." And dude, that night we went to rehearsal and everything sped up like 40 beats per minute. Thrash metal was born that evening.
All because of one letter.
All because of one letter that just set Dave off.
It's a challenge accepted.
That's why Killing Is My Business is just completely out of control. You know?
I'm going to go back and listen to it and just think about this story, man. That's so awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but yeah, do the needle drop. When you hear the piano done with Last Rites, you hear Love to the, you're like, okay, this is from a fan. This whole thing right here, a fan spawned this flame here. You know, so
wow, imagine what that guy, if you ever knew that was the reason, that would be an insane thing to find out that my letter was the reason why Megadeth changed the direction a little bit and went faster.
Exactly. I mean, it literally changed the course of everything, you know. And then, you know, the irony that then 6 months later, we're going to debut the band up in San Francisco because Dave said, look, we're not playing any clubs in LA, we're not doing this pay to play. And he really got it. I mean, he'd done, you know, some time there with Metallica in the clubs of the, you know, L.A. area. And he saw a whole different light when Metallica relocated up to San Francisco. So we debuted the band, and, you know, now Kerry King from Slayer, because he was kind of unsure of the future of Slayer. And he loved Dave. He always told me, he goes, man, I saw Dave play with Metallica opening for Saxon at the Whiskey, and watching Dave changed my life.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, yeah. So pretty cool words, you know. And then Kerry's now in the band, and we debut the band. He goes up to San Francisco and goes, wow, okay, this is a whole different thing. And that's really what got him to go back home and wipe the makeup off Slayer and reframe the group. And that's, he loved Exodus. Tom Hunting, the drummer from Exodus, was like his favorite. And, you know, probably spent some Slayer temples up too. I don't know, you know, but So it's just interesting how these moments, you know, and I think that's, you know, look, to kind of wrap it all up into bass story, that's, look, we're having a bass story right now on the radio. I mean, this is it, you know, sans a bass riff, you know, but you know, these moments are just so, you know, at the time you're just scratching your head, you know, going, what the hell's going on here? But, you know, you look back historically and you just go, man, one little moment like that changed the course of history.
Yeah.
I mean, now look at Slayer. I mean, they're having, obviously, their farewell. I mean, Slayer is a genre in and of itself. They're, as much as they're part of the Big Four, they're pretty much, they've defined and created a genre. It really, in the same way the Ramones did.
Yeah, that's actually very true. They're an entity, you know, in and of themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing to hear the origin of them, you know, becoming, forging that, you know, that's and you're spot on with that. Yeah.
And the damn kid that wrote that letter, he's part of the reason why Slayer became Slayer too. It's this one kid.
That kid's an attorney somewhere right now. Hey, no idea.
Everyone listening, just know your emails, fan letters, whatever, they carry weight.
Seriously. Dave, before we let you run, dude, this is so awesome. And again, people could experience this live at Louis G's this Saturday, and it's going to be happening, Bass Story, an intimate evening with Dave Ellison. You can just go to Louis G's website, Brown Paper Tickets, or DaveEllison.com. You can get information as well there. I recently listened to an interview with you where you were talking about your coffee company, and it was something that you said that just resonated, where I was like, man, You really just nailed it when it came to just, it was just a quick little blur, but I wrote it down because I was like, man, I just, one day if I talk to you, I would love to bring it up. I have like crazy notes in my phone I have to search for, but your coffee company is called Ellison Coffee Company. But you said something where somebody was like saying, you know, there's always going to be people giving someone a hard time about whatever they are and whatever they're doing. Like, this is better than this and that's better than the other thing. And I was like, this was just great words of wisdom from you. You said people don't necessarily always want the best. They just want something that they can relate to. And I was like, that sums up my career, because I definitely don't view myself as being the best, but I think what I do for a living can relate to someone, whether it be just how I am or who I be. I would love for you to just kind of elaborate a little bit on that, because I walked away from you saying that. And I was like, damn it, those are words to live by.
Well, you know, look, I mean, since we one thing we all share in common here on this call certainly is music. I mean, look at AC/DC. Yep. You know, obviously Angus, an incredible lead guitar player, but they are the epitome of a group of guys who, you know, if you singled them out, would they be outstanding? I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. Pretty meat and potatoes kind of organization, but you put them together and they're greater than the sum of their parts. And it's what mm-hmm. everybody wants to hear. What they do creates that feeling in a, you know, now an arena or a stadium that just, you know, I mean, it's incredible. We did some shows with them in 2001 on the World Needs a Hero tour. We did two shows and then we got, you know, on three more. And it was funny because we'd show up and you go, God, this looks like a bunch of metal headbangers over in Europe. This would be awesome. We got on stage and played. Their fans looked at us like, who are these guys? It's a mega what? Like, holy, we're like, and you're standing up there in front of 50,000 people. You're like, come on, you had to have heard of Megadeth. and they're literally looking at each other like, you know. Then I remember the Offspring went on, and they're like, okay, they kind of know a couple more of their songs. And then when AC/DC went on, I mean, it was 50,000 fists in the air, yep. screaming. They knew every lyric. And that was an eye-opening moment where you go, these people came to see one band, them. Mm-hmm. We were just the lobby entertainment until they could hear Hell's Bells, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, as it comes to like, you know, coffee, it's the same thing. You know, it's, you know, there's been a lot of bands over the years that it's like, you know, you can, you know, and musicians get snobby. Oh, I can play better than that guy and my licks are better. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, but you're at home in your bedroom and they're on stage at the LA Forum.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
So 10,000 faces. So who really is better? You know what I mean? Because it's not about sometimes, you know, it's not what you play, it's how you play it, you know? Yep. And music is about charisma and, you know, and it's putting your charisma into your music. Like you said, Dave Grohl, I mean, you know, he's gotten to have a couple of shots at it, which is wonderful, you know,
right.
Hometown guy there. And, you know, that's what you hear. The songs are simple, but they resonate, and he says words that everybody can understand, you know, and there's a beauty to that. And that's what happens with coffee. People come to me, oh, my beans are better than that. My beans are the best. And then it's like, well, I don't want the best. I just want stuff that people actually are going to buy and drink and enjoy, you know, and, you know, with Ellison Coffee, we're a rock and roll coffee company. You know, it started out, I was just hoping to put my name on a bag of coffee and we'll sell it next to the t-shirts and kind of be done with it.
But the honesty.
As things go in my life, somehow, as somebody pointed out to me, he goes, dude, you're like an apostle. You start things. You know what I mean? I'm like, great. You know, so next thing you know, it's, you know, got my name on it. Now I'm, you know, I'm sort of, you know, farming out I'm not literally farming the beans, but I'm, you know, selecting beans from roasters and marketing, and I'm dead center in the middle of, you know, creating a coffee company. And, you know, now that it's up and running and we're, you know, in our third year of doing it, you know, you kind of, just like a band, you know, you kind of learn what your audience likes, you learn what they don't, and you start to play to the room a little bit more.
That's awesome, my man. So again, that's ellisoncoffeeco.com if people want to get for more information, buy your coffee. And again, this Saturday over at Louis G's in Fife, we're going to have Dave Ellison from Megadeth. It's a Bass Story, and also Sin Circus is going to be playing with you as well. I'm very excited about that. My man, thank you for taking some time out and chatting. And I think people are getting a good example of what Bass Story is going to be like on Saturday. It's going to be a blast.
Should be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing the Sin Circus guys there, too. It should be a fun night out. Look forward to getting back up and hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, it'll be good to see you, too, man.
Cool. All right, you guys. Rock it.
Take care.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Oh, man, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was really cool, man.
And then for those don't know that the bass riff, just I'm gonna just quickly throw it on just so you can. I mean, this
actually,
is,
if you don't know the bass riff, check yourself. But go ahead, Steve.
100% agree.
What's the sun? Well, it's this weird yellow thing.
Yeah,
that's it right there. That's the MTV News bass riff right there.
I know, right?
It was just like, I remember being like, that's crazy that they didn't get a kick back at first. Such a great bass line.
Sorry. Remember Mixfest, Windowpane had learned this entire song.
That's right.
And man, we were jamming it, and finally Tony and I ended up having this conversation. He's like, man, my favorite part of the song is the outro.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, me too. And so we ended up just taking the outro, like, you know, from right from Can You Put a Price on Peace? Because I wouldn't say it. Tony would just start the riff, and we stuck it at the end of our song underfoot. And it's just great to see random audiences, like people you wouldn't expect.
Just
went,
the surprise.
Oh, my God, that's Peace Sells. Yeah. And it was great. Like, no matter where we went, East Coast, West Coast, we would go into that outro, and you'd see people light up. And I'm like, ah, see, you guys know what's up, you know.
It's such a great part. Yeah,
that's good.
Right.
It was a ton of fun to play. Fun to sing and play at the same time, actually.
God, that guy's so cool. Yeah, that was, I remember that. That was awesome. And I was faded. And I remember
I was faded, too, sadly.
Either I'm really messed up, or they're doing some Megadeth right now.
I didn't know there was an SH in the word peesh there, Glenn.
Peesh shows. Patrice Bryan.
Maybe a little less Jack Daniels next time, buddy.
So we just got a few minutes. I got to pop over and head to a doctor's appointment. But I do want to play a little sample of some Sin Circus. So if you had to pick one song, Derek.
I would say Neverland.
Neverland.
That seems to be the one that everyone likes off the first one.
Ooh. Yeah. And this is off the Chemical Youth record, which came out a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I must have recorded this when I was 17 or 18.
Whoa! Yeah.
So that's we've grown quite a bit since then.
Nice. Yeah.
Where are you guys tuned?
We tune a full step down.
Thought so, yeah. I heard that. I'm like, that sounds familiar. We do the same thing.
Oh, you guys do.
D standard or drop C.
Yeah. No, I love playing it. It sounds really chunky and heavy. And I love it. I love it.
So how does it feel when you can't believe your own eyes? And do you think that you're too spit setting lies? You raise the world that doesn't care.
Yeah, I actually bring you guys some gifts here, so I got
one
Chemical Youth for you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Got a free record.
Yeah.
Suck it, everybody.
Sweet, brother. Thanks for meeting it, man. That's rad.
Killer.
And they can find you on Facebook and all
Facebook,
social media.
Sin Circus Band. Give us a like. And you guys come to the show this weekend, and if you're lucky, I'll sign your CDs.
Love it.
So, hey, your dad told a crazy groupie story. Do you have any crazy groupie stories?
Yeah.
One that you could share on the cast?
Probably not. Dude, but the apple doesn't fall far.
Hey, dude, what happens in Tacoma stays in Tacoma. Come on now.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
That's very true. Do you like playing, though, with your brother?
Oh, yeah. Me and my brother are pretty tight, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like instant chemistry.
Yeah, it is. It is. And he sings some of the songs too. So some of the other songs on this album, I think he sang two on this one. Two on this one. And on the next one, he'll be singing two and a half.
Nice.
So,
dude, that's awesome, man. Congrats to you guys. And that's awesome that you're going to get to play some Megadeth songs with Dave Ellison. That's got to be...
It's going to be really exciting.
Have you had a chance to meet him before? Or is this going to be...
Oh, yeah. I've met him a few times. I was actually at Stett Howland's wedding.
Okay.
The drummer for Wasp. Yeah.
He's now the drummer for Metal Church.
No, he's the drummer for Metal Church now.
Keep him up. Right, keep him up.
I got to keep it up.
Up to date. But he's still fair and square.
You need to check your facts there, son.
Yeah. He just got
somebody's
married.
Somebody's getting grounded.
And we were playing his wedding. And we were playing his wedding, and Dave Elfson was he was the guy that was marrying them.
Damn.
Well, he was the officiant.
Yeah. I heard that he was. Yeah, the rep does that too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really easy to get ordained.
Yeah, I met him there, and I actually met him when they came here with the Scorpions, and we were in this limousine, and we were doing all of us doing an interview in the limousine. That was the first time I met him, I think. And, no. Yeah.
First time you met him was at one of his bass session things when he came to Guitar Center.
Yeah, we were, it's Ted Brown's. We were doing some rock and roll band camp thing. And we were, mm-hmm. I think maybe we were, like teaching the kids at this point.
Yeah, it was your second year doing
it. Our second year. We were mentoring some of the kids. And he came in to do his bass thing at the Ted Brown. And that was the first time I met him, actually. And then it was the Scorpions. And then it was the wedding. So a few times, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, it's going to be a very cool experience then to be able to be at Luigi's this Saturday. And dude, just listening to Dave, that's going to be a fun night of the stories. And
yeah, don't miss it.
Levi, thank you for putting this all together. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I wanted to shout out the other bands. Kings of Cavalier are opening. Ghost of the Pacific and Massacre at the Opera will also be there.
So. Damn, great bill.
It's a full night. Yeah.
Full night. Killer. Full lineup.
What time do things start?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
Cool. Tickets are going pretty fast, so grab them online if you can. There'll be some more released at the door. We're almost sold out of VIPs, so hop up on a
Like doors at 6, show start at 7, or doors at 7,
doors
show 6:30, start at 8?
6:30, show starts at 7.
7, okay, 7, got it. Cool.
Very, very cool.
Awesome.
And then Steve, I know Metal Church working on some new stuff.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're done with the new stuff. We're hoping for a release here probably within the next, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks, I hope.
Killer.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Followed by all kind of cool stuff.
Would you do a tour with your son's band?
We have done tours with them.
Yeah,
the last 2 years?
Three
tours of the West Coast in Texas.
And then the one with the Armored Saints before that.
Yeah,
too.
It was Metal Church, Armored Saint, and Sin Circus. And that was about a 4 week run.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Texas was interesting.
Why is that?
Our bus was falling apart.
Oh, no!
So I was just laughing in my head while Dave was talking about his when he was starting and you know, the struggles that musicians go through. Our tour bus, man. So this, like, crazy storm hit Texas, and I've never been anywhere like that before, so I'd never like experienced any kind of weather this before.
Oh, you never had like a proper electrical storm?
It was like
thunder,
lightning, just like lit up the sky like the sun was up and it's
end
like 12
days.
O'clock at night.
Yeah.
It started raining and within 5 minutes of it raining, the streets were running like rivers. Like they literally looked like rivers.
Jeez.
And our bus was like floating down the road basically. And we had these like empty containers and pots and pans and stuff because the roof of the bus was leaking.
Oh my God.
So there was just gallons of water just being like caught in these pots and pans all over the bus.
Yeah.
And I felt like we were sailing on a pirate ship or something, dude. It was crazy.
Free duck tours.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, can we crash on your bus?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was I was traveling with these guys because these guys are a funner bunch than my band. Right? I play with a bunch of old guys. They're like, let's just get to the hotel and get this over with. You know, these guys are young. They're partying.
They still loving being in a rock and roll band.
I'm like, I'm going to be, I'm rolling with the Sin Circus guys. I'll see you guys at the show. So I was firsthand experiencing all this stuff. And of course, the driver, Judd at the time.
Oh, he's going 70.
We're like the only vehicle on the road because everybody else in Texas is smart enough to get the hell out of the way. And they know when, you know, to board up the house and everything. Well, he's driving down the damn highway at like 60 miles an hour on a, we're hydroplaning all over the place in a bus. I was like, dude, you need to pull this thing over like right now.
I mean, we took refuge in an In-N-Out Burger.
Yes, we did.
And they let us in there. I was just sitting in there drawing pictures at the table and stuff.
I mean, of all places,
hours.
It could be worse to be stuck somewhere. Yeah,
they were really cool. They even hooked us up with some
free milkshakes and everything.
Yes!
We were going to go to the Wendy's, but we saw you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on in.
I remember my old band, our tour van broke down, and we got stuck at a Denny's. We got crap from them. Not even a free cup of coffee.
Rude.
Next time, in and out. Glenn, anything going on in your world, my man? Before
no,
we get running,
man,
things
no.
are good. Still enjoying.
Yeah, I'm
chill time.
Enjoying my forced retirement, semi-forced retirement. And I forced it upon myself because I thought my head was going to explode. But hopefully, within the next couple weeks, and certainly into the first week of October, I'll be making some really cool announcements.
Awesome,
some stuff I'm super excited about. But for now, I've just been trying to sleep and enjoy life the way other people do.
Nice. Good. Well deserved.
Yeah.
So I unfortunately got to run, but yep. Thank you guys, everybody,
yeah,
for being
here.
Thank
you for having us, man. It was great.
Thank you. Dude,
total pleasure having you guys in. And again, catch Sin Circus along with a bunch of other great bands and Dave Elveson from freaking Megadeth. And that's going to be happening this Saturday night. And just get your tickets over at Louis G's. Levi, anything else before we pop on out?
Big shout out to Quality Brand. Big shout out to Local Roots. My boy AJ down at Pelt Motorsports.
All that and more.
Yeah. Love you.
All right, well, we'll be back next week. I'm sure we'll be doing something silly because that's just what we do. Until next time, as always, please stay positive.